Chapter 2. Paris. The streets in the Saint-Antoine district of Paris were dirty and mean. The people who lived there were poor, and most of them were thin and ill-fed. A man was unloading a large barrel of wine from a cart in the street when there was an accident. The barrel slipped out of the cart and broke in the street. And a dark river of wine ran along the ground. Stopping what they were doing, everyone ran to the spot where the accident had taken place. Men, women and children began scooping up the dirty wine and drinking it from their hands. There was laughter from the crowd as they scooped up the wine, and there were smiles on the starved faces of the people. Soon, everyone's mouth and hands were stained red with the wine. One man dipped his finger in the wine and scrawled a dismal word on the wall. Blood. Nearby, there was a small wine shop, and the owner was watching the scene in the street. He was a man of about 30. He frowned when he saw the joker write the word blood on the wall. The wine shop keeper's wife, Madame Defarge, was also watching the scene in the street. She, too, frowned, but she said nothing. She had some knitting in her hands, and her fingers worked continuously with the needles. Monsieur Defarge turned back into the shop after a few minutes. He was surprised that two customers had entered the shop unseen by him. One of them was a middle-aged gentleman, and the other was a young girl. They were not the kind of people who would usually enter a wine shop in the Saint-Antoine district. The gentleman said something quietly to Defarge. The wine shop keeper was surprised for a moment, and then he signalled to the two customers to follow him out of the shop. Mr. Lorry and Miss Manette rose quickly from the table and followed Defarge. He led them through a little courtyard into another house. All three of them climbed the narrow staircase up to the top of the house. Defarge stopped outside a door and listened intently. He took a key out of his pocket.
"He's locked in?"
exclaimed Mr. Lorry in surprise.
"Why do you keep him locked in?"
"He has been a prisoner for many years,"
Monsieur Defarge replied grimly.
"And he would be frightened of freedom. That's why I always turn the key in the door when I go in."
Although Lucy Manette had not managed to hear any of the whispered conversation between the two men, she looked worried and frightened. Defarge pushed the door open softly, and they all entered the tiny, ill-lit room. There was an old man sitting with his back to the door. He was very busy, making shoes. Defarge made a slight noise, and the old man turned to face him. He had long, white hair, and an untidy beard, and he was very thin. The old man saw Miss Manette and Mr. Lorry, but he showed no interest in them.
"Show the gentleman the shoes you are making,"
Defarge commanded. Mr. Lorry stepped forward and leaned over the old man's work. Then he spoke quietly to him.
"Dr. Manette, don't you remember him?"
He pointed at Defarge.
"Don't you remember your servant from long ago? Take a good look at him."
The old man was startled and dropped the shoe he was holding in his hand. He frowned for a moment, and it seemed as if he was struggling to remember something from the past. The effort was too great for him, however, and after a few seconds his face went blank. He reached down, picked up the shoe that had fallen, and resumed his work.
"Do you recognize him, sir?"
Defarge asked the Englishman.
"It's him,"
Mr. Lorry replied.
"He's greatly changed. But it is him."
Miss Manette moved quietly to the old man's side and stood beside him. She was still very pale, but there was an expression of great tenderness on her face now. The old man raised his eyes and looked at her. He seemed afraid of her.
"What does this mean?"
he asked fearfully.
"Who are you?"
He took hold of her long golden hair and stroked it with his fingers. Then he began muttering to himself.
"It's the same, but it's impossible. So much time has gone by. It's impossible."
He peered anxiously into her face.
"You can't be,"
he said softly.
"You look like her, and your hair is the same. But it's impossible. She would be old now, like me."
Miss Manette put her arm around the old man and spoke softly to him.
"I am your daughter,"
she told him gently.
"And I have come to take you home. We are going to England."